we should be so thrilled still with that 49er victory over the Cowboys. And yet today, it's been kind of tough sledding in some ways, right? Because the Kings have been getting the disrespect heaped upon them right. by the likes of NBA.com and their GM survey. And now the ESPN top 100 players in the NBA poll. What's going on?
I love this outrage. I love outraged Whitey right here. I mean, this is fun stuff. This is par for the course for the likes of ESPN, Bleacher Report, The Ringer, Athletic. No, Athletic's good. I'll hold a judgment on Athletic.
I just wish the Athletic had more, you know, in Slate's covers the Kings. It's great. It just, and there was someone, I apologize, someone wrote a nice piece today. Just wish the Athletic would do more coverage of the
more
Kings.
Coverage of the yes. Kings, exactly. Yes. But what this ESPN piece, this is a top 100 players in the NBA that they released today,
Our
Whitey.
Expert panel.
Expert panel. And, you know, this shows me that they don't watch Kings games enough. And I don't know if it's an East Coast bias. There's plenty of ESPNers on the West Coast. You know, Malika Andrews, Kendra Andrews, they're all out here. But this shows me that they haven't watched the Sacramento Kings enough. This is a sort of a fantasy kind of list that they have. You know, people that may put up numbers, empty numbers, but may not win. And so go ahead. I'll let you set it up here and I'll react. But, you know, anytime you have these kind of lists, I take them with a grain of salt, so I'm not going to get too upset.
All right.
It's par for the
you
course
promise?
For these guys.
You
it's
say
par
you're not
for the
get
course.
Too upset.
I'm not going. Right now, I took my blood pressure pills earlier. I'm good, man. I'm healthy. I'm ready to go.
I'll just go down the list, and we won't. This is only 50, and then they'll have the other 50 tomorrow. We'll go through a few here. If you have any objections, just let me know.
Okay.
We'll stop there. Number 100, 100th best player in the NBA, Mitchell Robinson. Number 9, Jonas Valanciunas. 98, Colin Sexton. 97, Grant Williams. 96, Harrison Barnes. Jalen Williams is 95.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, keep going.
All right,
going.
I thought you might object there, but I don't want to assume
anything.
No,
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to.
All right, Westbrook, 94. Mike Conley, 93. Emmanuel Quickley, 92. These players are all better than Harrison Barnes. Josh Hart. John Collins. I'll stop there. You don't want to stop. John Collins does not belong number 90 ahead of Harrison Barnes. John Collins doesn't play anymore. John Collins, let's see. He was not very good last year. At 22-23, he shot 29% from the three-point line.
He's not a three-point shooter. Why do you don't hold that against him?
Well, then why
he
did he shoot
51%
him?
51% from the field last season.
He's a play
55.
Much,
look
he?
At it. Getting Collins back to his career averages 55% and 35.6 from three would be a boost for Utah. I'm not outraged over that. John Collins is a good player. I would have liked to seen him on the Sacramento Kings, actually. I'm a John Collins guy. So I'm not going to get my panties in a bundle and upset about that.
Yeah. Robert Williams, the third.
Okay.
Kevon Looney, 88.
All right. You want to go Looney?
Buddy Hield, 87. Buddy Hield, 87th best player in the NBA. Last year's rank, 90. So Buddy's up three spots.
Think about that. Talk about a player looking for a team. There's talk that the Pacers are shopping him, looking to trade him. And I like Buddy Hield. I know he did Sacramento wrong with some of the comments he made and things like that. But I like Buddy Hield as a player. But is Buddy Hield better than Harrison Barnes? Like, see, and this is what I'm talking about with these lists. When you have this kind of stuff, it sort of just, you know, makes me think the rest of the list is bunk also, is bogus also. I mean, you know, you look at what Jamal Collier is writing about him.
I'm mad about John Collins.
You're upset about John.
Yeah.
John Collins, I'm okay with because the production may not be there, but the potential is there. I get it. Buddy Hield, to me, we've seen the best of Buddy Hield. He's on a decline, I feel like. You know, great shooter, you know, all that. You know, I actually, like I said, like Buddy Hield, but to put him above Harrison Barnes, and this is why I say it's a fantasy. It's like 2K. It's like, oh, you know, because this person scores more, he must be a better player. And because Harrison Barnes only averaged 15 points, Harrison Barnes is a really good player. And Harrison Barnes is the kind of player that every winning team needs. And so to have Buddy Hield,
well, I mean, he's a great shooter, but other than
right. You know, I mean, and so
if he was that good, Indiana would just pay him.
Right. They wouldn't be looking to trade him, you know? And so I just, you know, I look at this list and they're, you know, ESPN experts. These are the people you see on NBA Today all the time. Kendra Andrews, Young Omasuk, and all those guys. But the disrespect for Harrison Barnes, not that I'm saying he should be number 60 or 50, but he should be ahead of Buddy Hield.
By the way, Dylan Brooks is not on the list.
That shows you they don't know what they're talking about. Dylan Brooks is
That's
a good
the only
player.
Thing I agree with.
Dylan Brooks is a good player,
sure.
Man.
He's just not one of the top 100.
He just had a bad season. You're not going to get me fired up over Dylan Brooks. Not today.
I just wanted you to know.
Not today.
I wanted you to hear it from me. We're not going to obviously run through all the names, but just to sum up here, they've got 50 names here, and then the top 50 will come out tomorrow. But Harrison Barnes is the only king mentioned in, 51 through 100.
Right.
So either there aren't going to be many kings in the list overall, or there's going to be a whole bunch of guys in the top 50, which I'd like to see, but I'm not imagining that's going to be the case.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking, you know, when I was reading this. I'm like, oh, man, Fox is a bonus. They'll be a top 50, but they must also have Keegan in there as well. And I understand Keegan, you know, only played one season, averaged 12 points per game. But I would like to see this at the end of the year because I would argue that Keegan Murray would be a top 100 player. You know, they got Bobby Portis up there. They have Jalen Green. You know, they got Scoot Henderson at 78, hasn't played a game yet. Even played a game yet, you know. Chris Paul is in this list. Cade Cunningham, who missed all of last season. Chet Holmgren. I mean, I just think, like I said, talk to me after the season.
Do you remember when the Athletic, they had at the end of last year, they had a top 100, and I believe Herter and Monk and Keegan were all in there. And I think Herter was like one slot ahead of Tyler Hero.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if Harrison Barnes was, but this ESPN list is going to be a far cry from that because maybe Keegan gets in the top 50. I doubt it,
right?
Yeah. Then you would have four in the top 100 overall if he makes it.
Yeah, if he makes it, but three in the top 100. That sounds like a slight to me if that's the case. You're talking about the third best team in the Western Conference, a team still on the rise, if you will. And I just, you know, are the Warriors going to have three guys in the top 100? No, their whole starting five will be out there. And Chris Paul's. They'll have six guys in the top 100. Think about that, Whitey.
Well, this is Kendra wrote this, by the way, and here's what she says about Harrison Barnes. What will his role be this season? Barnes signed the extension over the summer. On a younger team looking to continue its rise, he's a trusted veteran voice. However, Barnes' minutes declined, and Sasha Vezinkov could impact the way Sacramento uses Barnes in 23-24. Well, Kendra, did you see what Mike Brown said today? I think that's a fair point. And, you know, you kid me about saying Vezinkov's going to average 14 a game or whatever and start more games. I do think ideally the Kings would like to see it lay out that way. We'll just have to see.
Would they really, though? They just paid Harrison Barnes $18 million a year. Is that to come off the bench?
I think if it gets to that point, it's like you're holding that spot until we have someone who we think is better who can assume it, at which point we can trade you.
But this is the problem with that thinking. And respectfully, Whitey, I'm going to disagree because you can't have – this isn't – even Phoenix has role players. Nurkic is a role player. You know, I don't know who's starting, you know, alongside of the big three. Maybe Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon's a role player. What more do you want from your fifth option than what Harrison Barnes gives?
But do you – I don't think he would want to be coming off the bench.
Who, Harrison Barnes?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think on this team, you don't need five guys – you know, who are all-star caliber. Like, that's not how this roster is built. You need guys that know their role, can elevate the team. Nobody talks about his defense. Harrison Barnes, one of the better defenders at his position.
And I realize that's really important on this team.
That's really important on this team. Like I said, Harrison Barnes last year, if I'm correct, let me do the math. Keegan took more shots, I believe, than HB. Fox did, Herter did, Sabonis did, Malik Monk. Harrison Barnes, if I'm correct, took the sixth most shots out of anybody last season. Hyper-efficient guy. So what do we, like, what's the upgrade that Sasha brings? Or is Sasha going to all of a sudden be the third most guy that takes the third most shots? You need somebody that plays the role. Is Sasha going to take shots from De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis? And so I think Sasha is a great second unit guy. I think Malik Monk, great second, Davion. And so you don't need five all-stars to start the game. And then that makes your bench weaker. I think Harrison Barnes complements that unit, especially Whitey, when you talk about a unit that struggles defensively.
I just think part of the equation here and part of the plan going forward is the assumption that at some point, and maybe we're seeing it already, as good as Harrison Barnes is at all those different categories, there is going to be some decline there. And if you have Vezinkov there, you have somebody who is potentially a much more dynamic scorer who can assume that role. Obviously, if he can't defend at all, which now it's looking like maybe that's the case, well, then he's not going to play. By the way, Harrison Barnes, for what it's worth, I know it's a silly survey. Last year they had him at 74, and this year they have him at 96. Even though
he dropped more than 20 spots.
Even though he had, as you say, a very solid season.
So he dropped more than 20 spots. That's unbelievable. And like I said before, what Harrison Barnes brings, you can't measure in stats. So please, people out there, don't look, oh, Harrison Barnes only scored 8 points
tonight.
Yeah,
but tonight. He missed that shot.
Oh, right. That's what the fans will say. Oh, well, he should have passed it. He missed that shot. What Harrison Barnes brings to this team is more valuable than some silly box score. Come on now. We're as Sacramento Kings fans, we are more educated in basketball. We're not being reduced to what we see on a box score.
I just think a lot of Kings fans see him as a guy who should be giving them more. He's solid, foundational, but I think Kings fans, a lot of fans, and I'm not even among them, but I'm arguing their case here. They see Harrison Barnes as a guy who should be a borderline star. He's shown flashes of that beginning of the season 2 years ago. It's like he carried the team, and he doesn't do that consistently, and I think that's why for a lot of Kings fans, I don't know about the voters in this poll, that's why there's some dissatisfaction with HB.
I want to hear from Kings fans about this. 916-339-1140. What do you realistically expect Harrison Barnes to do? He plays great defense every night. He's a leader. He's an efficient scorer. He's a run stopper. What more do you want? Sure, I would like five guys that average 25 points per game, but you need guys to play their role. You need respected veterans in that locker room. You need a defender in that starting lineup. That's what Harrison Barnes is. What more do we want from him, Whitey?
Or are you like me and think, HB, thanks for everything. It's time to start him a lesser role,
what?
Making room for the dynamic Sasha Vezinkov. 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. Right back with that. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sport. This hour brought to you by NorCal Sportsman Show, October 14th and 15th at the Grounds in Roseville. You a fisherman at all? Hunter?
No, I'm not.
You ever heard the stories of people hunting at the Arco 2, Reggie Theus pheasant hunting, I think, with a bow and arrow?
Really?
Yeah. Wasn't really developed then.
Oh, right.
Yeah, after practice, they'd be out there and... Yeah, pheasant hunting.
Killing some time out there.
That's not all they're killing.
Right? Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Good eating.
Yeah.
You got turkeys where you live?
Yeah. Turkeys are all over. Turkeys are all over, man. They are a pain in the butt. You know, it's funny because my mom and dad, they're from Philadelphia, and they came to visit. And they saw turkeys, and my mom was scared to go outside. She was like, oh, my gosh,
smart.
What is this?
They're kind of scary looking. They give you a look sometimes. Right, like, yeah, you want some?
I see them on a golf course sometimes and everything. Yeah, they're out there.
Mm-hmm. You know who else is out there? Sasha Vezinkov. Mm. His defense apparently is just out there. Here's what Mike Brown had to say. He was talking to the media today. Frankie was there, of course. Brendan Nunes was there, our Kings insiders. Here's Mike Brown after practice today talking about how Sasha may be part of the third unit here for the preseason game against the Lakers tomorrow night.
He's, he played well for us offensively, I thought, against Toronto. And he's getting better. And again, like I said, we're just taking a look at different combinations. We may throw Sasha in with the second five. and Dorte with the third five. You know, there's the only thing that may not happen is I don't think I'll mess with the starting five, but the second and the third five can change it at any time. But Sasha, again, showed some of his versatility on the offensive end of the floor for us that people will expect to see come this year.
Okay, so it's early and a long ways from the opener, but as far as rotations go, does that mean that right now Sasha Vezinkov would not be part of Coach Brown's rotation?
I don't know if he will be or not. He's just got to keep fighting his behind off and getting better every opportunity that he gets, whether it's in practice and shoot around and or in the game.
Okay, so that wasn't a coach coming out and really, you know, laying down the law or anything, but his message was clear.
No, it was clear, and, you know, back to that first clip, to me, hearing that Sasha's may not even be in your top 10. You know, Chris Duarte might be in that top 10. With Sasha, number 11, 12th, you know, how deep does Mike Brown want to go? And he did go on to say, obviously, it's preseason, and what rotations we see in the preseason might not be how they are come regular season time. But I think this is a huge shock. I mean, I think this caught fans off guard because, you know, the Kings sent the whole contingent out there to bring this guy in. We're not talking, sure, he's an NBA rookie, but we're not talking about some 19-year-old that still has to learn the game.
Colby Jones or
right.
something.
Right. Yeah. Sasha is a developed professional basketball player. And to hear he might not even be in the rotation after everything the Kings did to try and woo him over here, that surprised me. That caught me off guard.
Your biggest offseason acquisition, right?
Right.
Fair to say?
Right, exactly. You know, you can bring in Duarte, you bring in JaVale McGee, but the guy, you know, I think that could have the biggest impact is Sasha. And so Mike Brown's decision to say, you know what, he might not be in the rotation to start off this season is surprising. Now, people will say, well, look at Keegan Murray. He came off the bench, but he was in the rotation. Mike Brown is saying that I'm not sure if he's in the rotation. He might not play those first few games. And that's shocking to me. Like I said, you're talking about a 28-year-old EuroLeague MVP who's a sniper. And, you know, we talked about it earlier. Maybe it's just Mike Brown's way of trying to motivate him and tell him, hey, man, you just have to get better defensively.
Now, you asked the question, what more do fans want to see from Harrison Barnes, the, what do we say, 96th best player in the league,
yes,
according to the NBA poll? We have this from Patrick Donaldson. Barnes shot 40% from three as well last year. We had three players that shot 40% from three, Barnes, Murray, and Herder. Family Schlegel says, I want a more team-friendly contract, LOL.
Why is Family Schlegel worried about a team-friendly contract? Why? Who else are you going to go out there and get? Let's say
he wants flexibility.
Right, he wants to do what, Family Schlegel? Give me somebody you would go out there and get. And I could argue, if we're being real and thinking from an NBA capology standpoint, $18 million a year, that's a hefty contract that down the road, let's say you did want to move on for Harrison Barnes, you know, if you sign him to a $12 million, you're not getting a quality player in return. You know, you have $18 million if down the road you did want to move him. And so forget about the contract. And that's the team's money. They have flexibility. Family said there was nobody this offseason I wanted. Well, then what are you talking about then? What are we talking?
Look, Kyle, here's the thing. You're not going to like this, all right?
All right.
You need me as a friend to tell you this. It's an imperfect comparison, so don't get hung up on the specifics. But Harrison Barnes is the Jimmy Garoppolo of the Kings as far as fans see it. When Jimmy was a quarterback for the 49ers, a lot of love, a lot of hate, polarizing. In a lot of ways, that's what Harrison Barnes is. For whatever reason, very polarizing. There's a lot of love, and there's, I wouldn't say hate, of course, but a lot of dissatisfaction, for whatever reason, with Harrison Barnes.
You know, everybody wants Harrison Barnes to be a 20-point-per-game scorer, 23-point-per-game scorer.
I think that's it, and I think you're right.
So let me ask you. He took 9.4, 9.6 shots per game. Like I said, he was sixth on the team in field goal attempts. Would we like Harrison Barnes to be more selfish? Is that what we're saying, Whitey? Like, because he can go out there and get 22, 23,
I think,
but then
people,
he's going to take 14, 15 shots a night.
People want him to score more points without taking more shots.
Right.
That's what they want. And I also think, be interested in your views on this, I think he's a little bit of a tweener. If he was 6'10 or something and did everything, well, they'd want a few more rebounds. But because he's kind of, is he a small forward? Is he a big forward? Well, his versatility is one of the things that makes him useful to have on your team. but I think people think of him as something that he's not. That's the whole thing with Barnes. Do you see what he is and accept it, or are you looking at him and saying, yeah, but he's not this or this or this? That's the dichotomy with him.
He's a 6'8 wing defender that leads this team. I've said it time and time again. First one in the gym, always one of the last to leave. Very professional. You know what you're getting from Harrison Barnes. You know he's going to be ready to play night in and night out. And so the fan base, if they are upset with Harrison Barnes, just look at his production. If you want to narrow it down to the numbers, when a guy averages 9.4, 9.6 shots per game and he scores better than 15 points per game, to me, that's pretty efficient. Let's say he shot 50% from the field. You take 9 shots. That's only 4 field goals. That's 8, 9, 10 points. Plus he gets to the line. Plus he defends the other team's best perimeter player. This is not NBA 2K, guys. This is not my career or my team where you can go out and use a bunch of VCs or MTs or whatever and go out there and buy players. This is the NBA. Monty McNair has put together a heck of a roster, and Harrison Barnes is part of that. And I think what Monty, you know, saw on HB, you want to talk about the contract, the 3 years, $54 million, he's a steady presence on this team. Mike Brown loves him. You can trust him out on the floor. Sure, he missed the shot, but I can list 3 or 4 game winners that Harrison Barnes has hit also. And so this whole knock of, you know what, HB, Sasha should be starting over him. Let's say Sasha does start over Harrison Barnes. What about your defense?
Well, that's it.
Who's guarding LeBron James for you? Who's guarding Kevin Durant for you? Who's guarding Devin Booker? You know, whatever. Who's guarding the other team's best perimeter player? That's what Harrison Barnes brings to the team.
At the risk of throwing too many numbers out there, but just I'll try to make this quick. But since Harrison Barnes has come here to Sacramento, looking at his offensive rating and defensive rating. Offensive rating, like per 100 possessions, yeah. What does the team score when he's on the floor? What do they give up? So his first year here, they were plus one. Second year, they were even. Then plus four, plus three. And last year, 126 offensive rating, 119 defensive rating. So he's plus seven on that team last year. 7 points better with him on the floor than off the floor.
I mean, come on. Why are we even talking about Harrison Barnes? Those fans that have a problem with HB, you're missing the point. And Family Schlegel says, Drapes, you're missing my point. I love him on his team. He slows the ball down with fouls when needed and doesn't need the ball to help the team. Exactly. But everybody is missing my point. Everybody wants stars at every position. But yet, when Phoenix goes out to get Brad Beal to pair alongside Booker and Durant, the fan base are the first ones to say, oh my gosh, the roster isn't deep enough. You know, you can't have all-stars at every position. Harrison Barnes is a glue guy, is a guy that, Whitey just said it, when he's on the floor, the team is better. And so this whole notion that, you know what, Sasha's going to start over HB, or we need a better player than HB at that position, I don't think so. Not when your stars are De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, and I told you, Keegan Murray's going to make that leap. He's going to be the third option. Harrison Barnes is your sixth offensive option, and he's getting you 15 points per game. I'll take that.
When we come right back, tell you the big reason why I think some Kings fans are dissatisfied that, oh, they brought back Harrison Barnes. Also, we'll look at 5 players who will define this NBA season. What do you think of that? That's next year. It's the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. All my friends know Kyle Draper.
Keep going. Keep going.
I was coming.
I loved it.
I was just going to start again.
Oh, all right.
By the way, coming up, top of the hour, I have it finally. It is proof positive, irrefutable proof that Brock Purdy is not, speaking of drive, he's not the Uber driver.
10-2.
It's irrefutable proof. And okay. We have that coming up, top of the hour. Now, we're talking about Harrison Barnes. Here, I think, is one of the things that a lot of Kings fans, why they feel just less than totally satisfied with Harrison Barnes. And you know this is true. last offseason, a lot of fans thought, here we go. Boy, the Kings kind of ahead of schedule. They got some money. They're going to get a big-name player. And instead, what do? They bring back Harrison Barnes. I understand why they did that, and you've done a great job of explaining why that made sense.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for some fans, it was like, wait, I thought they're going to go get somebody new, and we got the same guy that we thought was leaving. That's not the best way to look at it, but that's the way a lot of fans look at it.
Do you want to win the press clippings, the tabloids, the headlines, or do you want to win basketball games?
I want to win basketball games.
Harrison Barnes wins basketball games. And one thing we know about Monty McNair is he doesn't let the outside noise impact his decision-making. Sure, I was a Kyle Kuzma guy. I was.
I was going to bring that up.
I was a Kyle Kuzma. If you were going to go out there and get somebody, I was a Kyle Kuzma guy.
Well, there you go. That's a lot of, I think a lot of fans felt that way.
But in Monty we trust, right? Like the moves Monty McNair has made haven't always been the most popular. Trading away Tyrese. Even drafting Keegan Murray. Here's a segment that wanted Jaden Ivey or Ben Mathurin or somebody like that. He drafts Keegan. Maybe not the most popular pick, but then we see what he... So I'm giving Monty the benefit of the doubt. I see Harrison Barnes day in and day out and what he brings to the team. And so, sure, you may want a 23-point-per-game guy, 24-point... But the problem with the Kings, they don't need help scoring. So what you want Harrison Barnes to be isn't an area they actually need because they're a great scoring team already. So they don't need that another scorer or somebody that can... They need better defense. So you would get rid of, and I'm saying me, if you bring in Kyle Kuzma, maybe you upgrade offensively, but you take a step back defensively. And that's what Harrison Barnes brings to this team.
Well, obviously they crunched the numbers. They looked it over thoroughly, and Monty came to the conclusion that we have a better chance to win with this guy. Mm. But let's call it the way it is with Harrison Barnes. With Golden State, when it was time to make a move, obviously, Kevin Durant's better than Harrison Barnes, but Golden State felt like, you know what? We're better off if we move off from him. Dallas signed into a big deal, ultimately decided we're better off if we move on from Harrison Barnes. So I just think it's not fans, but even some teams have had something of an issue with Harrison Barnes in terms of, well, he's not quite all that we thought he was going to be, but for what he is right now and what the Kings need, he's a very good fit. That said, I also agree with... let's see, I think it's Patrick Donaldson. I like Barnes. He should start, but Sasha needs to be his backup and eventual replacement at some point. I see that.
At some point as in this season, you think? Or
well, not
let's
the way
not forget, Sasha's 28
yet.
Years old, too.
Yes.
It's not like Sasha's going to be the answer for the next 7 years or something. You know, Sasha's 28. In 3 years, he'll be the same age as
HB now? I don't
31.
Okay,
HB's 31.
You.
And so, you know, it's not like there's a massive difference between these two guys in age. And I go back to the point, sure, you want Sasha to be the starter at some point. Here's the thing, though. You put in Sasha, then are you asking Keegan Murray to be the best perimeter defender on your team? Are you asking Keegan to guard LeBron and, you know, all these great wings? Harrison Barnes does so much of the dirty work that doesn't show up in the box score. You mentioned it earlier. Golden State, you shipped them out. Dallas, same thing. Well, those teams, especially Dallas, they wanted HB to be one of the guys. His situation in Dallas is totally different than his situation in Sacramento. The fit you mentioned, he fits in better with what the Kings are doing right now.
Do you think that Harrison Barnes is the closest thing on this team Mike Brown has? The closest thing I'm saying, I'm not saying they're similar, but defensively, is HB the closest thing Mike Brown has to what he had in Golden State with Draymond Green? The closest thing.
I would say so, because here's why. Harrison Barnes can guard multiple positions, and I think that's what you're getting at. You know, the switches, they're not going to hunt out Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes switch on to a guard, he's got it. He's good. You don't have to send help. Harrison Barnes, sure, he's undersized, may not be able to defend centers or whatever, but he can hold his own. He can do it, you know, until the help comes. You know, and we're talking about this Kings team. We're not talking league-wide. For this Kings team, he's probably their most switchable defender, you know, in terms of a guy that can guard 1, 2, 3, 4, and sometimes 5. We don't have anybody else on the team that can do that.
Yeah, and this team, anybody who's an above-average defender is vitally important because there just aren't enough of them.
Exactly.
At least not yet. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Sean joins us on the drive. Hey, Sean, you're on with Draper and Gleason. What's up?
Hey, guys. Great new show. Good to listen to you guys again.
Appreciate that.
Hey,
thanks.
I get your point about Harrison and all the stuff he does, but I don't agree with this that he should have came back. Draper had made a point about how he knows how to win. But when the time the Kings really needed him the most last year, the last four games of that playoff series, he was nowhere to be found. And if you go back and look at his stats in the playoffs, even when Golden State, I mean, they're abysmal. This was a time they could have got away from him, got someone younger who fit the timeline better with the Kings, with De'Aaron. And they could have just, you know, improved in that area. This was the time. Now they're stuck with Harrison Barnes for at least two more years because that contract probably cannot be traded until it's an expiring deal. And I just think the status quo, this wasn't the time for the status quo. It was the time to make a move to get yourself into, you know, to get someone who can help you get further into the playoffs.
Thank you, Sean. I'm telling you, yeah, that's how a lot of people see it. They were just disappointed. It's Harrison Barnes instead of the next guy who's going to guide us into our bright purple beam future?
The problem with that thinking, and I get it. Trust me, I want stars everywhere too. But the Kings believe Keegan Murray is that guy. So we talk about a big three. They believe Keegan Murray can be that guy. And I fully expect Keegan to make that leap from 12 points to 18 and 19 this season. And so you go out there and bring in a Kyle Kuzma or whatever big name you want. Where does that leave Keegan Murray? Does that stunt his development? I think it does. And so, you know, Monty McNair is not only playing the right now game, he's playing the next 2, 3, 4 years game. As Keegan ascends, Keegan becomes that guy, and we won't need as much from Harrison Barnes. But what Harrison Barnes give you, and I'm listening to the caller talking about his points in the playoffs and everything. Harrison Barnes wasn't the only person that had a down playoff series against Golden State. And so I just think if you're looking at the Kings, sure, they could have beat the Warriors. It would have been nice. To me, they were a better team. But there's no shame and losing in the first round. Like, this is a building block for the Sacramento Kings. All right, last season they made the playoffs. They ended the drought. That's one step. Now the next step is to go farther in the postseason. And so, look, I'm looking at Harrison Barnes' numbers right here. The guy averaged 15 points per game, shot 55% from two, shot 37.4 from three. What more do we want from this guy? What are we hoping we get out of him?
You know who I really wanted the Kings to get? I think he would have been a perfect fit, and he was somewhat available, but I think he would have been way too expensive. Cam Johnson, I thought, would have been a perfect fit. Ends up staying with the Nets, and the Nets, I think, he was restricted.
So yeah, they would have matched it, right?
Yeah,
they would have matched that.
So I realized that was very unlikely. You would have had to give him some crazy offer to have any chance to get him. But my question for you would be this. Harrison Barnes, it looked like, we thought anyway, from what was being reported, that, he's probably going to go elsewhere. Then all of a sudden, he's signing. Do you know, and is there anything you can share about that with us in terms of, did Harrison think something else was developing that fell through? Were the Kings looking at other options? Or is that just sometimes the way these things unroll?
I think Harrison Barnes was a priority for the Sacramento Kings. Because if you remember, they signed him before free agency even began. Like they had agreed to terms before the free agency even began. And so to me, he was a priority for Monty McNair. So HB really didn't have the time to go shopping around. Trust me, Harrison Barnes, there are a lot of playoff caliber teams that would love to have a guy like Harrison Barnes, an adult in the room, a guy that could settle you down, doesn't turn the ball over much. You know, he's a run stopper, a great defender. And so, and the last caller mentioned his contract, $18 million a year is not bad in today's NBA.
Right.
That's a manageable, movable contract.
Right. You can't dispute that.
Yeah, you can't dispute that. Now, if you would have paid him $35 million, then it's like, oh my gosh. But to say Harrison Barnes isn't worth $18 million a year, this isn't 5 years ago or 7 years ago. You know, that's the going market. You're talking about a starting caliber forward, and you're paying him $18 million. I think, you know what, the contract is good. The player is good. Do I want to see Harrison at times be more aggressive? Yes. We saw it earlier in last season. But, and I say it during the broadcast, he gives the game what it needs on most nights. You need a run stopper. You need a bucket. You need a trip to the foul line. Who's that guy? It's Harrison Barnes.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You want to participate. Coming up, five X-Factor players who will determine the outcome of this NBA season. Next with Kyle Draper and Whitey Gleason, Sacktown Sports. Drive guys here, Gleason and Draper. We've got the Miami Heat on. They're playing the always pesky Charlotte Hornets. Tough offseason for the Heat because everything, of course, was about Dame and they didn't get him. Did you see this, Kyle? Dame Lillard, according to this story, he calls out the Blazers. Dame was talking to SiriusXM, and here's what he said. He says he's happy being in Milwaukee, but he says, I don't think it was a secret that Miami is where I wanted to go when I asked for a trade. It was more of a thing when this conversation even started. It was like, we're not going to be able to build this team out. We'll help you get to where you want to go. And that was where I wanted to go, end quote. So it sounds like he's like, yeah, I'm glad I'm here, but they could have done a better job of taking care of me.
Yeah, but this was a situation where, you know, Portland, they weren't going to be strong-armed into sending Dame wherever he wanted to, you know.
Right.
In their eyes, they had all the leverage, yeah. And they were going to get the
you're
best.
You're not a free agent.
Right, you just signed a contract extension, you know? And so I actually think it worked out better for Dame. I think Milwaukee's a better fit. I think the Bucks, you know, they got some question marks, obviously. But I think they're, you know, in my opinion, they're right there with the Celtics as favorites in the Eastern Conference. And I think the Giannis pairing, the Dame-Giannis pairing is better than a Dame-Jimmy Butler pairing or something like that.
I think Milwaukee has a longer shelf life. Would you agree?
Yeah, yeah. So, Jimmy Butler's up there in age. You know, Kyle Lowry, he probably would have went out in some sort of deal. But
I guess Bam's his boy, right?
Yeah, so Bam's his guy. And I'm a huge Bam out of Bayou fan. And so it would have been interesting. But I think from a headline standpoint, Dame and Giannis, I mean – Bucks were already, you know, when they come to town, you got to see Giannis. Now you got to see Dame and Giannis. I'm all for that.
I know a lot of people look at Dame and say, oh, he doesn't play many games. But I think last year, anyway, he could have played more and they told him not to.
Yeah, towards the end of the season, they told him to shut it down. They were sort of tanking for a better draft pick. And, you know, I don't begrudge Dame. Like, there's no hope. The organization, you know, isn't going anywhere. Then they draft Scoot Henderson. Instead of surrounding you with talent that can win now, you basically draft his replacement. It's sort of like Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love a few years ago. Rodgers stuck around a few more years, though. But, you know, I don't begrudge Dame for wanting to go elsewhere. He had been loyal to that franchise. And like I said, him and Giannis, I could argue there, and I know you don't want to say it, Whitey, the best duo in the NBA. We haven't seen them yet. They haven't played a game. I get it. But on paper, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think your old club, Boston, is the best team in the East by far. And as impressive as Milwaukee is right now, I think they're very impressive. We'll talk about Boston in just a moment. Real quick here, NBA GM survey for this year, offseason moves. Which team made the best overall moves this offseason? NBA general managers voting said tied for the best move. Boston and Milwaukee, 23% yes. Each. Then Portland was third, 17%.
Really?
They traded
by
Dame.
Getting rid of Dame.
Yeah.
I get it.
They got.
I get it. I like the haul that Portland got back.
Yeah. And then it goes Lakers and then the Mavs and the Rockets. Now, we were mentioning the Celtics. Kristaps Porzingis
yes.
is one of five players on this list put together by Michael Pina. And this is a list of X factors in the NBA. He says these five players will define the NBA season. These five players, he says, they could be really great, have a huge impact positively for their teams, or they could have the opposite effect. He's got Zion Williamson. He's got Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Bradley Beal.
Okay.
Klay Thompson.
Wow.
Klay. And Chris Middleton on the Bucks. We were just talking about the Bucks, of course. I don't quite see Klay.
Yeah. Klay had a pretty good season last year. Klay is who he is. We know what Klay Thompson is. One thing that Michael said in the article about Klay is that it's possible he can return to the All-Star game. Like, he could be an All-Star. I just don't see it. I think those days are past for Klay Thompson. He's, you know, not as strong defensively as well. But I don't think the Warriors' success depends on Klay Thompson.
I don't either.
Whereas the other guys that he listed, I could see how, you know what, if Chris Middleton is healthy, that could make the Bucks even better. If he's not, maybe that takes them behind the Celtics. Same thing with Kristaps Porzingis. Is he going to be healthy enough? I feel like he's a defensive liability out on the perimeter as well. Nobody's talking about that. And so, you know, I see how the Zion. If Zion's healthy, the Pelicans become a pretty good team. But we don't know if he's going to be healthy or not for a full season.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Zion because, of course, that could have a huge impact on the Kings season. Getting back to the GM survey again, I know I'm jumping around here, but I got a point to it. The GM survey says that the Kings and the Pelicans will tie this year's seventh best record in the NBA. So you're a little leery of the Pelicans, aren't you?
I am, and it's because of Zion's health. If Zion is healthy, they scare me. I'm not saying they're better than the Kings, but, you know, maybe it's Denver, Phoenix, Sacramento, and the Pelicans, you know? And so I think Zion, when you talk about this article on the Ringer here.
Yes, sir.
Zion takes the Pelicans from play-in team to Western Conference Finals contender. Same thing with Kristaps Porzingis. Kristaps Porzingis takes the Celtics from really good to championship. Like, if he falls off, if he gets hurt, then they're really thin in the middle. Al Horford, their only serviceable big. And so I think they're banking a lot on Kristaps Porzingis' health. Bradley Beal, how does he fit in with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant? That's a question mark. And then who? Not Klay Thompson, because I don't think Klay Thompson belongs on this list.
Chris Paul on that list before.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Chris Paul to me could determine how good this Warriors team is. And same thing with Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton was a former All-Star. Chris Middleton and Giannis were the big two, and then you had Drew Holiday that added the big three. If Chris Middleton returns to pre-injury form, and you got Dame out there, and you got to deal with Giannis. He's a sniper. They're going to be tough to beat. I think he's underrated. I think the health question, but he's a great player.
Three-time All-Star. As far as Zion Williamson goes, we all know that, boy, he's hurt a lot, but I didn't realize it was this dramatic. Since 2021, Zion Williamson has played 29 games. And in those contests, he averages 12.5 points on drive. So, yeah, I mean, when the Kings look at the landscape of the West ahead, there's a lot of big question marks, and New Orleans is one of them because they're capable of being a really good team. Everyone who follows it knows last year, before Zion got hurt, they were number one in the West. They were ahead of Denver.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they went 26-27. They started out 23-14, then they wound up 26-27, and then by that time they were in 10th place in the Western Conference. But that's when you talk about five defining players, I think of players that can take you from good to great, or vice versa. You're great, but if it doesn't go well, you can be, you know, it could drop you back. And I think Zion's right at the top of that list. Him and Chris Middleton are huge for their teams.
If we were to just look at the West, okay, Zion makes sense. I think you and I say Chris Paul, maybe you include Bradley Beal, okay. But would Kawhi be one of those guys?
From a health standpoint, yeah. Yeah, both him and Paul George, you know. And the thing about Kawhi, when he plays, he's great, right? Like, we've seen it. When he plays, he's great. And so the question with him is health, obviously. And so he can have it, and throw Paul George in there, too. I'll put them together.
Okay.
If they play, great. But we don't know. You know, the league has this new rule about the player participation policy. Maybe that'll force these guys to play more. I need to see it to believe it.
Yeah. Kawhi says it ain't going to make any difference.
It ain't going to make a difference.
Fingers crossed, though, because we'd all love to see him play more. Just, hey, if he's going to miss games, hopefully it'll be against the Kings. When we come back, proof positive. You know, people debate this.
You've been waiting on this all day.
And I have it. Irrefutable proof that Brock Purdy is more than an Uber driver. He's more than a system quarterback. Irrefutable proof. When we come right back, Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.